app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic
Find
Media
out
app.
What's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard?
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning, it's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A teenager killed in a sawmill accident in northern Wisconsin last month was likely on the job legally. Terry Bell has more.
Florence County Sheriff's records show Michael Scholes was trying to unjam a wood stacking machine at Florence Hardwoods on June 29th. The investigation says he was alone when he got pinned in some equipment. Security footage shows it took 17 minutes before anyone noticed him. Scholes died in the hospital 2 days later. Children as young as 16 are allowed to work in planing mills. Wisconsin is one of several states where lawmakers are embracing more lenient child labor laws. There's a bill right now to let 14-year-olds serve alcohol in bars and restaurants. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A coordinated effort to roll back unemployment benefits and other social safety net programs in Wisconsin. The Foundation for Government Accountability, a Florida-based nonprofit, supported several proposals getting public hearings in the state legislature this April. The organization does not have memberships, but does have connections with several conservative billionaire donors in Wisconsin. Governor Evers is likely to veto the proposals that roll back unemployment benefits, Medicaid eligibility, and make it more difficult for Wisconsinites to vote. There's a new website to connect small farmers and food pantries in Wisconsin. As Mike Moen reports, it aims to help people on both sides in a time of need.
This month, a new directory went live where local producers can create a profile of their operation, including the types of food they grow. The online tool allows hunger relief organizations and meal programs to search for farmers who are given grants to produce a certain amount of food to be donated. Forrest Humphrey is with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He says making these connections can open a lot of doors.
Small farmers who may just sell at the farmers market, who haven't had a lot of opportunity to expand to larger markets.
Food shelves can stock up on healthier options as they report high levels of demand, especially after federal pandemic food aid expired earlier this year. I'm Mike Moen.
The United States is sending weapons to help Ukraine fight off the Russian invasion, but critics say cluster bombs can spray hundreds of smaller bombs across an entire city block. Megan Rogers is with the group Nonviolent Peace Force. She says cluster bombs don't discriminate between soldiers and innocent bystanders.
Oftentimes they fail to explode within those cities or areas for years to come, with the possibility of exploding later and causing just really devastating harm to civilians.
Rogers says dozens of other countries have signed a treaty banning the use of cluster bombs. Wisconsin has been selected to be the location for the next season of Bravo's popular food competition show, Top Chef. Season 21 will be shot in Wisconsin later this year. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, Civic Media News.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Today is the start of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. The event, in its 125th year, saw over 100,000 people attend last year, a record. With new buildings on site, Executive Director Rusty Volk said his vision of focusing on ag is being realized after over a decade running the event.
It's pretty awesome. So yes, we had to rebuild barns, replace old barns, and finally, after 14 years, we've come to that conclusion to get her done.
Five new buildings were built to replace old structures that didn't have modern amenities or enough space for animal exhibits at a cost of over $6 million. The fair runs through Sunday. Today is also the first day that artists will perform at Rockfest in Kadot. The three-day music festival, which sold out at campsites and VIP months ahead of time, has a ticket holder event tonight before its main acts play tomorrow through Saturday. Headliners include Pantera, Slipknot, and Godsmack. You can buy tickets at the gate. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Nationals finally win the All-Star Game. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Last night in Seattle, it was the 93rd All-Star Game, baseball's Midsummer Classic. Top of the eighth, Rockies catcher Elias Diaz at the plate. Fox Sports with the call.
2-2 to Diaz, is hit in the air to deep left field. Back it goes, Elias Diaz puts the National League in front. At 32 years old in his All-Star debut, a go-ahead home run.
Diaz named the game's MVP as the National League went on to beat the American League for the first time in 10 years, the final 3-2. Milwaukee's Corbin Burnes did not get into the game. The last time that happened for a Brewer was back in 2017. Major League Baseball's draft is over. The Brewers selected 21 players over 3 days. 16 are pitchers, the rest position players. Of the pitchers, the Brewers drafted 12 are right-handers, 4 are lefties. The deadline to sign draft picks is Tuesday, July 25th. NBA Summer League, the Bucks were in the fourth quarter playing the Nets when both Milwaukee's Vin Baker Jr. and Brooklyn's Nick Perkins were charged with technical fouls. Perkins, who'd only been in the game 74 seconds, said something and then was ejected by the ref. The Bucks ended up losing 92-71. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
Well, we get in the office, we got to keep our composure, right? Mentally and physically, we got to just keep it together. You know, it happens. It's a very emotional game. I didn't think we quit. I just thought we didn't play well. We didn't play well enough tonight to get the win.
Up next, the Bucks face the Miami Heat Thursday afternoon. NFL Saints running back Alvin Kamara pleads no contest for his involvement in a fight the weekend of the Pro Bowl last year in Las Vegas. Kamara and three others accused of beating and kicking a man after he was down. Kamara now looking at community service, a $100,000 settlement with the man, and a possible NFL suspension. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Wisconsin, La Crosse, Eau Claire, and parts all over the state of Wisconsin. How you doing today? It is a Wednesday. It's the 12th of July, and we are live today. If you tuned in yesterday, then you know that most of yesterday's show was a previous show. It was the show from the day before. We were having some technical difficulties yesterday. And I think we've got them all resolved now. Hey, Aaron, can you hear me okay?
Yes, everything sounds nice and clear.
Oh, man, that's good. That was frustrating yesterday. We had so much to talk about, and we did get to do one live segment yesterday. But thank you to the listeners for being patient with us. And hopefully everything is back to normal today. So here we are in the middle of July. And outside today, it's going to be some July-like weather, although not as hot. It's going to be a little cooler, a little more rainy, mostly cloudy today with rain and highs in the mid to upper 70s, depending on where you're at. It's supposed to be warmer again tomorrow, but about a 50% chance of rain just about everywhere, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Hayward, and Richland Center. And in sports, last night, Aaron, did you get to watch any of that baseball game last night? I bet you didn't.
I did not. My roommates did, but I was jamming with a friend. So,
well, that's cool. That's a good excuse to miss the All-Star game. But the All-Star game doesn't really mean much, but it's fun to watch and it's fun to see the guys, the big-time All-Stars come together, although not everybody plays. But last night's All-Star game was somewhat historic because it's the first time since 2012 that the National League won the All-Star game. And it's also somewhat historic for those of us in Wisconsin because no Milwaukee Brewers appeared in the game last night. How can that even be? But that's what happened. I guess Devin Williams was scratched from availability because he's been working so hard recently. And Corbin Burnes wasn't called on. There were several pitchers who hadn't played in an All-Star game before, so they kind of let them go. And, of course, Corbin Burnes had played in an All-Star game. So he didn't get to play last night, but that's okay. And at least the National League won, right? Could be worse. Hey, let me give you some headlines here. There is new consumer price information that was just released a few minutes ago. The monthly consumer price index data came out, and it shows that inflation is down quite a bit. Lowest numbers in several months. Also, the northern lights may be visible across much of Wisconsin tonight and tomorrow night, although maybe not everywhere in Wisconsin. And down in Milwaukee, Summerfest saw a 40% increase in attendance from last year. Season 21 of the TV show Top Chef is going to be filmed in Wisconsin. Hey, Aaron, have you ever heard of that show, Top Chef?
I have not, but I did hear about this story.
Yeah, I guess I'm not. I don't watch a whole lot of cooking shows, but I know there are some people that just love to watch the cooking shows. And now this show, which is, I guess, is on the Bravo network, is going to be filmed in Wisconsin. And one thing that you learn if you travel around the United States, Wisconsin does have a lot of great restaurants compared to other places. So that's good news. And the last thing I have here on my list of headlines for the day is about Hayward, Wisconsin. Hayward preparing for the Lumberjack World Championships going on next week, actually starting a week from tomorrow up in Hayward. That is a reason to go to Hayward, I guess. Should be fun. I see the information about the Lumberjack Championships in the news every year, and I always think, oh, man, that would be fun to go up to Hayward and check that out. But maybe I'll do it next week. Who knows? Hey, let me get to this information here about the inflation report that just came out. And Aaron, what's your opinion? What's your opinion of what's going on with the economy? Do you have an opinion? Do you think the economy is out of control and inflation is out of control? Or where are you at on the economy?
From all the numbers that I've seen, it looks like we're starting to rein it back in from everything that the pandemic did, which obviously that's no one's fault. The response to it could have been better, of course, but I think that we're recovering pretty well. Inflation rates coming down. Unemployment's fantastic right now. So I think it looks like it's going up.
Yeah, and I agree with you. And it's surprising how many people think that the economy is just out of control and that this Joe Biden administration just ruined the economy. And I think if you listen to the wrong radio stations or television stations, you may believe that because that's what you hear on those programs. But the truth is the economy's been doing pretty well. Just as Aaron mentioned, the unemployment numbers are the lowest in decades, so everybody who wants a job should be able to find one pretty easily. And also, the inflation is well under control now. And one thing we should always mention is the fact that after the COVID situation, after the pandemic, inflation was a serious issue, not only in the United States, but around the world. And inflation in many countries was much, much worse than what we experienced here in the United States. And as we all know, prices rose for a time last year and the previous year. But now, according to this new data that just came out, this was updated 20 minutes ago, the June inflation report, the inflation continues to cool, massive deceleration. Consumer prices rose 3%. And by the way, this information I'm looking at here is from the New York Times. It says consumer prices rose 3% in the year through June. Another decline in the pace of inflation. That deceleration in the closely watched core inflation numbers, also notable. It says here that inflation data released just a few minutes ago showed a pronounced cooling and offered some of the most hopeful news since the Federal Reserve began trying to tame rapid price increases 16 months ago. The consumer price index climbed 3% in the year through June. So that means from last June to this June, 3% increase in prices. And if you've been to the grocery store or any other type of store, you may have noticed prices coming down quite a bit on some items. So that percentage, 3% in the past year, June to June, is of course less than the 4% increase in the May through May numbers, and just a third of the roughly 9% peak from last summer. And that overall metric catches big declines in gas prices. That's one thing you have to notice if you're buying gas. Also, a few other products that could prove ephemeral, which is why policymakers closely watch a different measure. It's the change in prices after stripping out food and fuel costs. That measure offered news that was even better than what economists had expected, sending stocks higher as investors bet that the news would allow the Fed to be less aggressive in the future with the interest rate hikes. This story from the New York Times goes on and says the core index climbed 4.8% compared with the previous year. That's down from 5.3% in the year through May. Economists had forecast a 5% increase. And on a monthly basis, the core index climbed at the slowest pace since August of 2021, almost 2 years. So here's a quote. It says, this is very promising news, according to Laura Rosner Warburton, senior economist and founding partner at Macro Policy Perspectives. She said the pieces of the puzzle are starting to come together, but it's just one report, and the Fed has been burned by inflation before, end quote. Slower inflation is unquestionably good news because it is allowing consumer paychecks to stretch further and is inflicting less pain at the gas pump and in the grocery aisle. But Federal Reserve officials are still trying to assess whether the cool down is likely to be quick and complete. They do not want to allow price increases to linger at slightly elevated levels for too long, because if they do, consumers and businesses could adjust their behavior in ways that make more rapid inflation a permanent feature of the economy. And given that, they may be cautious in interpreting the news. Officials have signaled in recent weeks that they are likely to raise interest rates at their next Fed meeting. That's July 25th and 26th. And just a little bit more on the inflation news, Ms. Rosner Warburton said that she thought a July move was still likely, but that the fresh inflation data could lay the groundwork for a more extended pause. She added that a cooling in car prices and slower rent increases should keep the moderation in inflation underway, and she forecast that the Fed would not raise interest rates again this year after the move this month. So good news on inflation for consumers, which is all of us, right? It's 17, almost 18 minutes after 8 o'clock right now. Going to take a quick break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowalk. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered storms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies. High of 74. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for isolated storms again tonight. Lows around 53. Mainly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. 81. Chance for scattered storms Friday with a chance for scattered showers Saturday. Highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 60.
This summer, Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK has a new starting lineup. Beginning at 6, Up North News. Then at 8, Stu Daniels on Lake Air, 1260 AM, WLAK.
Wednesday morning. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show. Hope you're having a good day. And we're discussing a few different topics today. Let me ask my producer, Aaron, have you ever done any diving, like scuba diving or snorkeling? Have you ever done anything like that out in the ocean?
I have not. I have some friends who have, but I haven't had the opportunity.
Yes. Well, I have never gone scuba diving, but I've done some snorkeling and from those who have done the deep sea diving and that kind of stuff, they say that some of the things you see in the coral reefs just blows you away. It's like a whole other world is what you see when you're down there. The coral reefs themselves, but also all of the marine life that live in and around the coral reefs. And now there is a serious threat to these coral reefs. This story from the New York Times is about the fact that the temperatures of the ocean are becoming so high now, it's becoming so warm in the oceans that the coral reefs and other marine life are threatened, endangered. Temperatures in the oceans, at least the Atlantic Ocean around Florida, now reaching around 90 degrees, the temperature of the water, around 90 degrees. This story here says, how hot is the sea off of Florida right now? Think 90 degrees Fahrenheit. Researchers are recording ocean temperatures that pose severe risks to coral reefs and other marine life. This story was just posted a couple hours ago at the New York Times website. It says Florida's coral reefs are facing what could be an unprecedented threat from a marine heat wave that is warming the Gulf of Mexico, pushing water temperatures into the 90s. The biggest concern for coral isn't just the current sea surface temperatures in the Florida Keys, even though they are the hottest on record. It's never been that warm. The daily average surface temperature off the Keys on Monday was just over 90 degrees Fahrenheit, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. The real worry, scientists say, is that it's only July. Corals typically experience the most heat stress in August and September. So it sounds like it could get worse. Here's a quote. It says, we're entering uncharted territories. That's from Derek Manzello, an ecologist and the coordinator of NOAA's Coral Reef Watch program. Coral reefs are natural wonders that support myriad species and blunt damage from storms. In the United States, the coral reefs generate economic benefits to the tune of $3.4 billion annually for fisheries, tourism, and coastal protection, according to NOAA. But oceans have absorbed some 90% of the additional heat caused by humans as we burn fossil fuels and destroy forests. When sea temperatures rise too high, corals bleach, expelling the algae they need for sustenance. If waters don't cool quickly enough, or if bleaching events happen in close succession, the coral reefs die. For decades, scientists have been warning that climate change is an existential threat to coral reefs. Already, the world has lost a huge proportion of its coral reefs, perhaps half of them, since the year 1950. Dr. Manzello says, to be blunt, it can be very depressing. Unfortunately, I'm a scientist watching it happen. Marine heat isn't just affecting the Gulf of Mexico. Globally, about 40% of the planet is experiencing a marine heat wave, according to Dylan Amaya, a physical scientist at NOAA who studies them. And Dr. Amaya says, Florida is one patch in a terrible quilt right now. That's the latest from Florida. What's going on with the temperatures of the ocean above 90 degrees in some areas around the Florida Keys? I don't know what we can do about that right now, but it's something to keep an eye on. At 8:28 right now, going to take a quick break. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. NATO leaders wrapping up their summit in Lithuania with a promise to give Ukraine more support, but not to allow it into the alliance while the war with Russia is still going on. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky through an interpreter at the summit said,
"And I believe that NATO needs us just as we need NATO, and I believe that this is absolutely fair. I am confident that after the war, Ukraine will be in NATO."
Floodwaters receding in hard-hit Vermont, allowing officials to focus on recovering from the disaster that washed out roads, choked streets, and trapped people in their homes. A dam near the capital city of Montpelier came close but did not breach and now appears to be stable. The Iowa State Legislature passing a ban on abortion when a fetal heartbeat can be detected at around 6 weeks of pregnancy. That's sooner than most people know they're pregnant. This is ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's what you need to know in northwestern Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today is the start of the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. The event, in its 125th year, saw over 100,000 people attend last year, a record. With new buildings on site, Executive Director Rusty Volk said his vision of focusing on ag is being realized after over a decade running the event. Five new buildings were built to replace old structures that didn't have modern amenities or enough space for animal exhibits at a cost of over $6 million. The fair runs through Sunday. Today is also the first day that artists will perform at Rockfest in Kadot. The three-day music festival, which sold out at campsites and VIP months ahead of time, has a ticket holder event tonight before its main acts play tomorrow through Saturday. Headliners include Pantera, Slipknot, and Godsmack. You can buy tickets at the gate. And it'll be cooler today across western Wisconsin with highs the 70s to low 80s. There are also several chances for scattered rain showers today and even a few storms. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa! That was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I'd like to be under the sea in an octopus's garden in the shade. He'd let us in, knows where we've been in his octopus's garden in the shade. I'd ask my friends to come and see. In the shade, we would be warm below the storm in our little hideaway beneath the waves, resting our head on the seabed in an octopus's garden near a cave. We would sing. I'd like to be under the sea.
Everybody, sing along. Octopus's garden. Octopus's garden. From the Beatles. 8:34 right now. And if you are swimming in the sea down around Florida, as we just learned a few minutes ago, the temperatures in the ocean are higher than they've ever been in the 90s now around the Florida Keys. Devastating for the ocean and the marine life and the coral reefs. It's climate change. It's not coming someday. It's here now. Extreme weather events everywhere, everywhere around the country, experiencing extreme weather events. Hey, Aaron, have you ever been to Vermont?
I have not.
Yeah, I haven't either. But they say it's a beautiful place. A lot of people like to go hiking, camping in Vermont. And unfortunately, they are experiencing some extreme weather, devastating floods, forecasters warning of more rain in the coming days after Vermont was inundated by a historic deluge on Monday. I have some information here from the New York Times, just posted a couple hours ago. It says, in the wake of a powerful storm that dumped as much as 9 inches of rain on parts of Vermont, residents in cities and towns across the state are only beginning to grapple with the destruction caused by the flooding unleashed by the historic deluge. Though skies have cleared since Monday's storm, rivers are spilling over their banks, dams are filling up, and forecasters are warning of more rain in the coming days. Thousands of residents have lost their homes or businesses to the storm. And this storm first struck New York State on Sunday, with one death attributed to fast-moving floodwaters there. Within only 4 hours, more than 7 inches of, 7 inches of rain fell at West Point in New York. Several train lines in the state, such as Metro North's Hudson and Harlem lines, were suspended on Monday as a result of fallen trees, mud, and boulders blocking the rail tracks. The system then headed north into New England, causing severe flooding and forcing hundreds of people to evacuate their homes in Vermont. At least two of Vermont's rivers, the Winooski, which runs through Vermont's capital, Montpelier, and the Lamoille, Lamalie, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. It's spelled L-A-M-O-I-L-L-E. How do you pronounce that? Surpassed levels. This river surpassed levels that they had reached during Tropical Storm Irene in 2011. The flooding shut down major roads and state highways, and city officials in Montpelier issued an emergency order Tuesday, temporarily closing the flooded downtown area. The governor of Vermont, Phil Scott, described the flooding as historic and catastrophic, said on Tuesday that thousands of residents had lost their homes, their businesses, and more. And as of Tuesday, Vermont officials said that no injuries or deaths had been reported, but they cautioned that the state was still in the earliest stages of this disaster. Already more than 100 rescues had been carried out, officials said, as teams used boats and helicopters to pull people from flooded homes and cars. And there have been concerns about dams and other infrastructure. One of the biggest worries has been whether the Wrightsville Dam, just north of downtown Montpelier, will exceed its capacity. William Fraser, the city manager, said on Tuesday that the dam was nearly full and could potentially spill into the North Branch River. He said, this has never happened since the dam was built, so there is no precedent for potential damage. And then by yesterday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, city officials said that the water was only a foot below the dam's auxiliary spillway, but that the rate at which the water was rising had slowed. Quote, at this time, it's difficult to determine if there will be a spillway activation. And that's according to officials. Spillway activation is how the structure is designed to operate, and it does not mean a dam failure. The flooding and storm debris forced the closure of dozens of roads across the state, including Interstate 89, which was shut down Monday night, stranding many motorists overnight. And the full extent of the damage is not yet known, with some areas in Vermont still inaccessible by road and with rescues taking priority over damage assessment. Officials said they would need time before they could give a full accounting of the toll on homes, businesses, roads, bridges, and other infrastructure. Chief Eric Nordenson of the Montpelier Police Department said Tuesday that the city's resources were spread very thin by the calls for help. And in other towns, such as Londonderry, which was heavily affected by the flooding on Monday, the cleanup was already underway. In New York, officials on Monday estimated that the damage would likely run into the tens of millions of dollars to repair. Quote, "My friends, this is the new normal," Governor Kathy Hochul of New York said on Monday, referring to climate change's effect on flooding. "People must be prepared for the worst," she said, "because the worst continues to happen." And there's even more rain in the forecast for people in the Northeast, New York, and Vermont. According to the National Weather Service, Wednesday is forecast to be generally sunny across Vermont. However, showers and thunderstorms are possible Thursday, along with a slight risk of excessive rain, described as a few additional inches across much of Vermont, New Hampshire, and eastern New York. Governor Scott warned on Tuesday that though the sun was shining, this episode was not over, as the rivers could still rise. His quote, "This is nowhere near over." So that's what goes on. That's what happens when we experience climate change and warming of the temperatures. Lots of extreme weather. You know, when we were younger, some decades ago, extreme weather happened occasionally. You know, sometimes there was extreme weather in the summer or extreme weather in the spring or the winter. But it was a big news story because it happened so rarely. And now these stories don't seem as they don't seem like such breaking news stories, such big news stories to people that aren't in the immediate areas. It's because these extreme weather conditions seem to be happening all the time, every day. Every day there is news somewhere about extreme weather conditions. There's extreme high temperatures in the Southwest, and there's extreme smoke in the Midwest from wildfires in Canada. And now there's extreme flooding in Vermont and New Hampshire, New York. And it seems like every day there's extreme weather all around us. And should we get off that topic for a few minutes? It's kind of scary and depressing, isn't it? Let's talk about the Lumberjack World Championships going on up in Hayward next week. I have a story here from the Green Bay Press Gazette about why Menominee tribally harvested wood is the best for the upcoming Lumberjack World Championships going on next week. I think starting a week from tomorrow up in Hayward. The story here from the Green Bay Press Gazette says, coming from generations of indigenous loggers on the Menominee tribal forest, Rainer Schuter relishes the opportunity to show off his old world skills every year at the Lumberjack World Championships. Last year, he placed fourth against dozens of competitors from around the world in the one-man chopping contest, in which he used an axe to chop a log in half at a fast pace. Schuter, who was 29 years old, was drawn to compete in the events 6 years ago because he thought it was cool to turn his family's livelihood into a sporting competition. He immediately fell in love with it. He said, "It's pretty mesmerizing when the sun is setting and you're on the Jumbotron. Not one person competing does not have 100 or so people cheering for them. Everyone is a fan," end quote. Shooter works as the chief operating officer for Menominee Tribal Enterprises, which operates the tribe's logging operation. He said that although the company now uses modern equipment, the competition pays homage to the days when loggers used hand saws, axes, and true grit to work. The tradition of competition between lumberjacks started in the 1890s when these rugged woodsmen would want to see who could chop or saw through wood the fastest using their own muscle and hand tools. The late Tony Wise founded the Lumberjack World Championships in 1960 in Hayward, where the event is still held today. And it sounds like people from all around the world are going to be descending on Hayward next week. And by the way, the late Tony Wise said the event was inaugurated to, quote, perpetuate and glorify the working skills of the American lumberjack. Hayward, Wisconsin came into existence because of the lumber industry. Therefore, it was fitting that one of the largest logging competitions should be held here also, end quote. More than 100 lumberjacks from around the world compete in sports ranging from sawing and chopping to speed climbing, log rolling, and boom running. Since 2001, Menominee wood has been used in the sawing and chopping parts of the competition because organizers found it's some of the best white pine in the world due to indigenous sustainable management practices. Shooter, who was mentioned earlier in the article, has several family members working for MTE, and his grandmother has worked for the Menominee logging business for 30 years. It says here he's a member of the Stockbridge Muncie Mohican tribe, which has a reservation adjacent to the Menominee reservation. He said he's proud of the healthy, sustainable wood his family harvests from the Menominee forest. Shooter said Lumberjack World Championships organizers find exactly what they need in the Menominee forest, which would be difficult to find anywhere else. His quote is, they need a really big tree, and that's why they come to us. The Menominee tribe designates which trees are ready for harvest, and these are still some of the biggest and most mature stands in the world. These trees grow to about 135 feet, and they can cut 5 to 7 sawing logs out of each of those 135-foot trees. It's going on next week, starting a week from tomorrow, July 20th through the 22nd, in Hayward. Going to be a fun time. Stick around. Going to take a quick break. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Here outside the Perez family home, just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Chance for scattered storms today. Otherwise, cloudy skies. High of 74. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for isolated storms again tonight. Lows around 53. Mainly cloudy skies. Chance for scattered showers tomorrow. 81. Chance for scattered storms Friday with a chance for scattered showers Saturday. Highs in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 61.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
Music 8:51 right now on this Wednesday morning. You're listening to the Stu Daniels Show. We have 66 degrees in La Crosse and it's 68 degrees up in Hayward. And I wanted to mention here as we continue to cover what's in the news, I wanted to get to an opinion piece that was published or posted at the Shepherd Express newspaper from Milwaukee. This is by Joel McNally, and he's talking about the secret Republican code for abolishing equal access to higher education. Now, do you really think that's going on? Is it possible that Republicans have a secret code for abolishing equal access to higher education? Joel McNally says Republican legislators use an incomprehensible jumble of letters, DEI, when talking about abolishing equal access to higher education at the University of Wisconsin and other college campuses throughout the state. That's because if Republicans said right out loud what those letters stand for, diversity, equity, and inclusion, most voters would realize those words are a perfect description of the ideals of American democracy. Abolishing DEI literally means supporting white supremacy, inequality, and exclusion. It's no secret MAGA Republicans are out to destroy all the progress the 1960s civil rights movement created toward assuring equal rights for all Americans, regardless of race, gender, or sexual orientation. Most Americans have taken pride in strengthening equal rights under the law for women, racial and religious minorities, and LGBTQ Americans. Hardcore right-wing Republicans never have. We're still living with the racist Republican backlash against the election of America's first African-American president, Barack Obama. His presidency was immediately followed by the protest election of openly racist, corrupt, and now criminally indicted President Donald Trump. The most voters in history threw Trump out of office after a single term, But that hasn't stopped Republicans from continuing his mission to roll back every American civil rights achievement everywhere, all the time. Their most in-your-face victory was the right-wing supermajority on the U.S. Supreme Court wiping out a half century of constitutional rights for women to make their own decisions about their own bodies and lives regarding abortion. That radical decision destroyed religious freedom in America by allowing politicians to impose their own religious beliefs about abortion on everyone else by law. The immediate political backlash began the battles decent people continue to fight all over America to stop Republicans, not only from banning all abortions, but from abolishing other constitutional rights as well. That's when Republicans started speaking in code, again to hide their never-ending attempts to destroy American democracy. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss speaks fluent political alphabet when he raves about the evils of DEI at the University of Wisconsin, creating racial divisions, demonizing conservatives, and indoctrinating college students in radical left-wing liberalism. That unintelligible string of letters doesn't describe anything that's actually happening. It's simply another ugly Republican excuse to block a long overdue effort by university officials to increase access to higher education for first-generation students of all races and to help them succeed. For most of America's history, colleges were white male institutions. When women were finally admitted, for decades, it was primarily to attend teachers' colleges or nursing and secretarial training. The only people of color did manual labor or cleaned the classrooms. It's especially important for state universities to educate community leaders and the skilled workforce needed to drive their state economies. Those people are no longer all white. Unfortunately, that puts UW-Madison, the flagship of the state system, at a distinct disadvantage. It has long been cited as a prime example of the failure of many major universities to create racially diverse educational institutions, and Republicans want it to stay that way. A black student strike in 1969 protested the small number of students of color on the Madison campus. UW didn't even track the race of students until 1974, when African Americans were found to constitute 2.2% of the student body. 50 years later, in 2022, that had barely improved to 2.9%. Continuing racist incidents on campus haven't helped either. The good news is UW recently hired a new vice president for diversity, equity, and inclusion, defying threats from Voss and Republicans to destroy such programs in the state budget. It says here, UW System President Jay Rothman says it benefits both the university and the citizens of the state to reach out to underserved communities in a time of declining enrollments. Joel McNally says the secret Republican code for abolishing equal access to higher education. And it's not, I guess it's not that secret, right? They just call it DEI and act like who would want diversity and equity and inclusion? Well, I think that's something we should all want. Stick around. Going to take a top of the hour break. Get some news in. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
He went down to Oxford Town. Guns and clubs followed him down, all because his face was brown. Better get away from Oxford Town.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check NHTSA.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at NHTSA.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finn.